Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, we're back, we're back.
All right. So
ladies and gentlemen, we're back, we're back, we're back. We're here, we're here,
okay,
we're here.
Yes, we hear you.
Man.
We hear you.
All right. It sounds like we're back to normal now. Hopefully.
Not really. We had a couple special guests that won't be on.
That's not really helping.
I've got everybody to hit the field.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of time cut short. So. We have a lot of time cut short, so the first thing that we're going to have to go into is the recap of the Packers, and I'm sorry to you guys who were going to call. They don't have time now. The Packers and the Eagles game, which the Eagles actually handed the Packers their very first loss of the season, of which I didn't oppose that, but, you know, being fair and being a professional... I'm not supposed to say those types of things, but I am very – the Eagles did not give up. The Packers jumped out to an early lead, and it looked like it was – not quite say a slaughter, but that the Packers were going to have complete control of the game. And the Eagles just
took over and
defense.
It became
nice.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
This is a show by fans for fans. I'm here for the Packers loss. I am all here for the Packers loss.
Well, go ahead. This is stats out. You got them? You got them?
Go ahead, man. Hit it. Let's go.
I'm just here for the Packers loss. But
he's
if
here
I
for the loss.
Real,
he don't care. He don't care how they lost, how it looks, how they played. It's just the fact that they lost.
I was going to get into that, but go ahead.
I mean, literally, I am here for the loss, but being here for the loss, yes, they lost. A loss is a loss, but if I keep it real, my team and another team fan on this show, we both lost them, so it wasn't a division loss, so beggars can't be choosy. It was a loss. They can go into more details on the loss, but I'm here for the loss. Yep,
your team, they still on the bottom. That was a competition.
Man, they,
my team ain't on the bottom no more.
They are on the bottom.
Yes, they are.
Don't lie.
Hey.
They on the bottom.
Hey.
They
never in the bottom of my heart. Plus, the Lions going to lose today.
We ain't talking about the bottom of your heart. We talking about the bottom of the doggone. We talking about the bottom of the division.
Forget the
NFL standing. You have the one that has the Renard heart. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, ain't nobody. Your heart is not on the marker, on the schedule.
Yes, it is. It's at the top of the list on every newspaper and everywhere else. It says Renard's heart. It's at the very top.
You need to sit down and have a conversation because they've been disrespecting you for about a decade.
Man, I'm just saying.
Yeah, we really do. It's been 2006, more than a decade. Come on now, Bear.
All right, y'all. So back to back to the Packers-Eagle game. You know, if you saw the game, obviously you saw the Packers get off to a great start like they normally would. However, what you probably weren't prepared for was for Philadelphia to come on back in that game and say, nah, buddy, that's mine. When I tell you it was a great game, you know, it wasn't a great game in the aspect of, you know, calls and play calls like that, but it did have some definite moments where, you know, it has the qualities of a great game going back and forth. Now, my biggest thing is, you know, if you're ahead by as much as they were, your defense got to be able to put the game away. Philadelphia just found ways to just keep exploiting the defense, y'all. And you can't be mad at that. It's just what it is. You know, like they say, man, you know, one of my favorite football movies is Any Given Sunday. And really because it's any, and really because the title holds true. on any given Sunday, if you're playing football, you're in the professional, you can either win or lose. It just depends on who show up and, you know, how things work out for you. But in this case, I got to give it to Philly because they did their thing. Now, you can't be, I'm not mad. You know, I'm here for the loss.
From everything that I saw, I am mad at one person. I'm happy he didn't do it, but I'm mad at one person. The one-handed catch is a great thing. Don't get me wrong. But come on now, dude. Use two hands when two hands are available. And there was too many plays where Jimmy Graham tried to one-hand it, where he gone up with two hands, the Packers might not have their first loss. I'm happy he didn't do it, but I'm mad that he didn't do it either, as well. He's too good of a player to be trying to – it's a only one-hand thing. And he's clearly not good enough, Jimmy Graham.
Well, you can't say that he's not good enough. He's in the league. Well, so let's give him that part.
No. I didn't say he's not good enough.
What you can say is what does hold true is what you said previously to that. Every catch is not a one-handed catch.
He's clearly not good enough to only go up with one hand every time. That's my point. When two hands are available, go up with two hands. I do realize there are certain circumstances where two hands is not going to cut it. Had he caught it with one hand, this is not a conversation. He clearly did not catch it with one hand. He might have been thinking that one hand was the only option because two hands weren't available, but clearly two hands were not the option either because he did not make those catches. And it was not on one occasion. It was on three different catches. Two of them could have been game-winning catches. So, I'm not saying that he ain't great because he is great. He was the consummate.
I don't know, man. He just
power
says he
forward. Can't. So, what I said was he's clearly not good enough to go up with only one hand every time.
He just said he can't catch.
Are you saying he can't catch, or are you saying he had a bad game because?
I'm saying he's not good enough to go with one hand every time. He went up on at least two plays where two hands were available. Had he gone up with two hands.
So, right. Okay. So, inside of your theory, you know, as far as he's not good enough to do it, he didn't do it every time then. He only did it twice. Out of how many times did he get the ball thrown to him? You got to count that too.
Yeah, but you know this better than me. We don't remember the good catches we missed. We remember the ones that you didn't make, and he did not make those catches.
I'm definitely not a fan of either one of y'all's teams. Good catches, bad catches, sideways catches.
It don't even matter.
I know
that he clearly can make a one-handed catch because it was the one-handed catch that was the one touchdown against the Bears. I'm not saying he can't make a one-handed catch. I'm saying that he's clearly not good enough to go with one hand every time. That's what I said.
Well,
he went up. He should be going up with two hands.
Let me explain something. Let me make this clear. Let me explain what happened. Ego and underestimate. They underestimated the team, and their ego was sitting there. And so, while no matter who the team is, because I've seen the worst teams knock some of the best teams out of postseason contention because they just did not take the team seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I believe was happening after they saw and clearly when you saw how the Vikings played them and how the Packers have been playing, it did not initially without looking if you weren't looking at paper and looking at stats and paying attention to what the Eagles have been doing, it did not look like this was going to be a very tough game for the Packers. The Packers were going to have to play ball. But it did not look like the game that it turned into when the Packers was like, they're
playing for real. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, like us getting that early lead didn't dampen their spirits. Like, they came back. Oh, so they got to, he can't kick through the uprights. We only up by one.
I have always
not down by six.
Grams.
Wait a minute. Like, it was just happening that fast. That is everybody on it. Like, I would be overconfident if I played next to Aaron Rodgers and I don't even play football.
My point is still,
even when you have the talent, don't go into the situation cocky. I felt like he was going into those potential touchdowns.
I definitely agree that you should not, but that's like seeing people on the players on the Patriots show up like, boy, I sure don't know about them Chiefs. They lost. Like, I think they're going to get us. No.
You can be confident, but not cocky. He went up cocky. I'm sorry.
He probably did. Well, you know, you got to think about it, man. They were going in 3-0, and it's fair enough to say that Philly wasn't, you know, at that point didn't seem like a threat to them. So yeah, you're talking about going into the game.
I'm talking about at the point where the game was clear that it was a competition. At the end of the game, had he made one of those catches.
What game is clear to the Packers that they're not almost being blown out, that it's a competition? The Packers have so many walk-off touchdowns, it's unreal. And they almost had another one had it not been picked. Had Aaron Rodgers got that ball in Jude's hands, they would have been 4-0.
Yes, and then two minutes before that, had Jimmy Graham made that catch. And then 2 minutes before that, had Jimmy Graham made
Jimmy Graham. Dear Jimmy Graham.
But you
one
can't
day,
put it
he,
all
I'm
on
going to have
on,
you on this show.
On him. You know what I'm saying? You're putting it all on one. And I understand why you're doing that. I get it.
I don't. I don't think he's putting it all on one receiver. What I'm saying is what he's saying. I understand is that when it looks like your game is on the line, it's real cute to, like, you know, OBJ and Chris Carter a couple balls, but then right now we needed you to catch it with two hands, and then maybe we would have been in a predicament.
I get it.
So I get what he's saying, but the cockiness of the team won't let that theory live. The team will not let that theory live. And maybe he needed a Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky conversation, which we'll talk about later, because I definitely put the video up as well as other people. I know what he told Mitch. Like,
I mean,
we'll talk about that theory later.
I'm okay with going into the game with the expectations of winning, but once the game is on the line, you can't do that.
What you're missing is for your average team, the game was on the line. For the Packers, it wasn't. It for the Packers, like, until all of the clock says zero for real, they are in disbelief unless they're being blown out.
The Packers, even after he didn't make that catch, you're 100% correct that they still almost came back. And I 100% understand that. But one of the things that we all understand in sports, whether you play or not, you don't take that chance, you don't run that risk. You catch it when you can. Yes, it's great that you have Aaron Rodgers, that he still has the ability to drive you down there anyway. But you don't put us in that position, because had you made one of those two catches, because you went up.
You're absolutely correct. And the coaches allow that to happen with a lot of the play calling, because they unfortunately are. You are absolutely 100% correct, but this is just one of those teams. Just like last year, we watched the Lions how many times come from behind and win, and people were like, wait a minute, what just happened? Did we lose to Detroit? Like, Detroit would be like 99-0 in some kind of way. They would win like 101-99. So we knew that Detroit were like the comeback kids of the season, and
for Aaron Rodgers for that squad. And I think the front, the heads, the coaches need to think a little different. They're not going to panic off of this game, I can tell you that. But maybe they do need to think a little different and stop putting the team in that predicament. But it's been years. It hasn't been one or two seasons. It's been years that Aaron bailed them out in these situations. I mean, some amazing walk-off touchdowns. Like the one a couple years ago against New Orleans was probably the nastiest one. I said, not only
did he
throw the ball
and
my man caught the ball in the end zone, but when he did it against Drew Brees and they thought they had the game won, this is how nasty it was. He threw the ball. My man caught it, and the whole team was already halfway in the locker room. Like, we got this. This guy will put the score. That was so disrespectful and dope at the same time. Like, the team left, like, oh, Aaron threw the ball. All right, game over. Y'all want to show
and,
hands? No, okay,
and
leave.
I am
nobody
not,
had caught the ball
yet. I am not one of those that will absolve. I will not absolve Jimmy Graham based on Aaron Rodgers' talent. Aaron Rodgers' talent. Let's say Aaron Rodgers does drive down that interception.
It's unfortunate practice.
No.
You know, everything that you practice and becomes repetitive actually becomes what you do and or believe. And
you're 100% correct.
This
is
what has happened
now. Let me finish my thought. Aaron Rodgers, let's say he comes down and he does successfully bring them back and they win and that interception does not happen. Aaron Rodgers would still have every right to say, you should not have put me in that position. And that's my point.
No. He likes that position. Cody Parkey from the Bears last year probably had the right to say, y'all shouldn't have put me in that position. But Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers, no.
He has the right. He probably would have been.
No, that's probably what
favor, but he has the right.
Position next to missionary or something. No, that's no.
No.
He don't have no fear.
Jimmy Graham does not have put him
fear.
In that position.
He has no fear. His receivers better catch the ball. That's all he.
And Jimmy Graham, I'm
go that way.
And exactly. You were saying that I'm probably not putting it on Jimmy Graham. I am putting it on Jimmy Graham. Now, I also agree that there
I told
have been other things that he's done
it. Put it on Jimmy.
I didn't say you shouldn't. No, I didn't say you shouldn't. What I'm saying is the problem is they've
I'm
been
putting it on Jimmy Graham because he didn't
work.
Do it once. He did it more than once. It's okay when you make that mistake once. When you make that same mistake few minutes later, same mistake.
I know I told you were right. I'm just saying that it was done because of just their training.
Like they out there in the field
sorry.
With the chili. It's like, y'all know Aaron, he's our man. If he can't do it, no wonder they're
I'm a Bears fan.
This man is going to figure out a way.
This. No, it should not have gone.
Aaron wasn't mad.
I hope he snapped him in the locker room.
No, he wasn't upset at Jimmy Graham. He was upset that they underestimated who they were playing. Like, and as a whole, they did not come through. They could not contain the Eagles, and the Eagles did not look great, but they just had that little spark of hope that they were like, I don't disagree with that point.
You can't go into this season think that you're playing just because you're playing the Miami Dolphins that it's going to be easy. You got to take every professional seriously because they are all professionals.
But you still have to understand and have to have the allowance for human behavior. And how people feel.
I'm okay with the first time you made that mistake. You made that same mistake 2 minutes later.
Hey, he was still feeling the same way.
Human behavior is the first time you do it.
Guess what? Hold on. Let me stop you. Jimmy Graham. On behalf of the two Bears fans and the one Vikings fan on this call, on the show, we would like to thank you for thinking you were OBJ not once but twice in the game. unsuccessfully. We appreciate you.
Right. We are saying that.
And we're looking forward to you doing that in the next couple games, okay? Keep your head up. All right.
Hey, you know.
Do it. Do it every catch.
Hey, that's it. That's all
do
that
it.
Has
every
to
ball
happen.
Thrown at you.
They gave him their first
said.
L. I'm very you proud
know, so
of the
it,
fact that they gave him that first L. So,
man,
I,
trust me, because one of my cousins, and I may actually get him on the show one day. He's from Chicago, but he's a true Packers fan. He can't stand the Bears. And normally, you know, when they playing, it's on his social media is all lit up with it and everything, right? I ain't seen nothing.
I hope your cousin comes on the show and defends himself. And the reason why I say that I'm not even questioning him and his fandom for whatever team he's a fan of. What I will say is most of the fans that I have come across that are from Chicago, live in Chicago, that are fans of the Packers, and I can't know this without him speaking up for himself, are fans of two things. They're fans of the fact that Packers are a winning organization. And they're fans of the fact that they're fans of hating on the McCaskey family. And they cannot understand how the Bears have had the same opportunities that the Packers have had and have not done anything with them. And I can completely understand while I disagree.
Something today.
When you go ahead.
Something. I didn't know that they were true. Now, I have McCaskey family issues. It didn't make me a Packers fan, though. It will not make me a Packers fan.
I'm just telling you. Nothing can make me be a Packers fan.
Nothing can make me be a Packers fan.
I have, and the thing is, like, I have no disrespect for the organization. I have no disrespect for their players. I'm just not a fan. You know, and I think that's what it boils down to, you know, to everybody. Everybody loves their team for whatever reason they love their team, you know, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever. However,
so who's going to do that? We need to have Packers. Well, we did this before. We didn't do it. Oh, it's time for us to do it again. So we got to get Packers fans and Bears fans, my one Lions fan. You have to know you're listening. Thank you for always supporting the squad. My Vikings fans, which I'm going to have to pick one because goodness. And I think we should just dedicate a show to each. We've got time.
Yeah.
To dedicate a show to each.
Definitely. So any of you all who want to call in and talk about your team, NFC North, that's what we're talking about. That's what we cover. We got another team. We don't really care. Bring that to you. It's football. But primarily.
You can call in on a day we play one of your teams. Don't call in on a day we don't play your teams. I'm saying it.
Yeah, exactly.
What we got to do. What we have to do is then we have to kind of schedule that.
We'll figure it out.
We'll stay tuned.
Once we get the details and
Twitter
everything together,
and
we will definitely
we'll
let you all know.
Because we did it a couple seasons ago, and it was fun. So,
man, it was hilarious. It was super hilarious.
And if I remember correctly, there was a Detroit Lions fan that was on the show that could not stand Matt Stafford. And it was not the fact that he didn't think Stafford was good for his team. He felt that Stafford was overrated. And I loved every bit of it. I loved every bit of it.
Hey, that's my boy Nas.
That was absolutely
Man,
so funny.
He came.
He was
on the show.
But he is not as good as some folks make him out to be. And honestly, my opinion of Matt Stafford has been exactly the same. He's good enough. But why folks keep trying to put him
Joe
Montana category?
Are we done bashing Jimmy Graham and the Packers? As they should have been around the spot in the
they
season.
Are, I mean, they already
because
won,
if we're segueing.
Let me
say one last thing about Jimmy Graham.
Let me say one last thing.
For the Cavaliers. I think I've seen him.
The thing about Jimmy Graham, it is because I know he has great talent. He has been great for football. He has proven, he has further solidified the power forward from that could have played in the NBA is great in the NFL. It is because I have expectations that he is a great player that I am criticized. Let's keep that real. If he became
you,
a villain,
I'm so proud of you. Look at this. I'm proud of you. This is absolutely awesome. You
if he became
some nice
available
things
today, if he was available today, I'd put the Bears to find him. So let's keep that real.
Have y'all heard?
That's all.
Have y'all heard? Renard has grown. I'm just saying.
Forget y'all.
Y'all out here to witness it. Renard has grown. Because typically he's going to run a player into the ground. He ain't got nothing nice to say about you. He ain't trying to have all that. But he's grown, y'all. I don't know how I feel today. I feel really good right now.
That's what you all saying. From 20 minutes ago, a whole 20 minutes since I was in bed, I think y'all was misunderstanding me. That's all we going to say.
No, we understood you. I'm just saying, man. It's just a pleasure to sit back and hear you, like, you know, go through the whole analysis and then bring it all together to point and, like, I still have, you know.
Let's I'm going to tell y'all something, y'all. I'm a Chicago fan, so I'm a Bulls fan. The moment Dennis Rodman signed with the Bulls, I was doing a dance for joy. And you can believe the whole time he was in Detroit, I hated his drops.
Oh, I think I have fell asleep for 40 seconds. What? No, we're not going to do this. The Packers lost. Everybody else in the NFC North appreciates that loss. Thank you. But here's the bigger shocker. The Lions are sitting atop of the NFC North division because guess what the Lions haven't done? Lost the game.
They
do have a tie. They should have won their season opener, but they have not lost the game. So they are sitting in the number one spot, and the Chiefs are at Ford Field today. They are kicking this off at noon. So why don't we roll into our Lions predictions, because we're going to need all of this last time to talk about the next matchup. So the Lions and the Chiefs. So Mr. Mahomes and squad, go ahead and invade Ford Field. But even though Matt Stafford was a game-time decision, he has been activated. He will play. And that has not looked bad, especially these last two seasons, some kind of way. I think Niles is going to come out the woodwork and call because I think I just cursed his team or something. But Matt's been putting the ball where he needs to put the ball. His arm has looked pretty darn good. He's been very, very precise. And I wonder if even Kirk Cousins looks at his film. But he's really done a very good job of connecting with his receivers. Their ground game, it's okay. It's not bad. They are getting a lot of yards on the running game. But when he throws that ball, that beautiful rainbow and that aerial attack has been successful and it has been consistent. Matt Stafford in the past has been plagued with a few injuries because they don't have the greatest O-line. And it seems to be repeating itself this season so far as we go into week four. But I don't know. I think I've underestimated the Lions twice now, and I don't think I'm ready to underestimate them again today, despite the fact that they do play the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have an awesome squad, one of my favorite
the Lions
coaches,
are going
especially if you're a quarterback.
Today.
Yeah, and you
the
said
Lions
that last week. Okay, and the week
Lions.
Before that, too.
And they weren't playing against Patrick Mahomes, as a matter of fact, I think.
It didn't matter. The one game that we
point,
thought that they would successfully win, they didn't, and that was against the Cardinals. We just knew that they were going to walk off the field, clobber them, and they were up 24-0 until the middle of fourth quarter.
Today is the first time. Today is the first time that Patrick Mahomes is playing is not playing on grass. So his track field built players and plays are about to run all over and leave the Detroit defense in the dust. Yes, I'm going there. And I won't even swallow crow if I'm wrong on this one because it's not going to happen, and I have zero expectations of needing it to. Detroit is going down. Yep, I'm going there.
Y'all heard it here first. He has said it. He is not back again.
He doesn't like
it. As a matter of fact, they didn't hear it here first because they had already said it in their own
shot
mind.
Has been fired.
They had said it in their own mind. They didn't hear it from me first. The fans already knew this.
For real?
Detroit is going down. Detroit fans even expect them to go down.
Are you for real?
Any Detroit Lions fans that have come across this show are listening today or will listen in the future. Detroit Little Sisters of the Poor.
Detroit fans call in right now.
The Little Sisters of the Poor is going to win.
Detroit fans already know that they're going down.
He is telling y'all to call in and say y'all team ain't going to win.
No, I'm telling them to call in and try to defend their team. They're not calling in because they know I'm right.
They probably got to call in because you didn't say the number.
That might also be true, too. That could also be true. That could also be true.
I got to call
you might want to get in that part. That's funny. He's like, they ain't calling in. They kind of had a number.
Well, tweet us. We've given you the Twitter account at Football Fan Rush. We've given you all the Instagram account at Football Fan Rush. Go to find us on Facebook, Football Fan Rush Radio. Y'all know how to find us.
If you want to call in, call 515-605-9753. Again, if you want to call in, especially if you're a Detroit fan, please call in and defend your team against this dude. Don't let him just sit here and say all y'all in the same boat and y'all all feel the same way. Y'all team ain't nothing today. They're going to get smashed. Come
y'all,
and defend your team.
Fans,
again, that number is 515.
If they are football fans, they know their team is not as good as the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes will throw the ball all over the
That
top,
has nothing to do.
Yep.
That has nothing to do with a win. That has nothing to do with a win. No, no, no,
again,
no.
Again, 515-605-9753.
Yeah, defend your team if you got any cojones. You ain't got the cojones to call in. Yep, I'm calling y'all out.
Wow.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, shots been fired, y'all. Who's accepting that challenge? Somebody call in, please, just so it can be interesting, because I want to hear what he got to say. Somebody. And I'll be waiting on you.
And Cav and Mike, if y'all want to text y'all one Detroit fan, just tell them to call in, go right ahead.
If he is not saving lives right now, because...
Yeah, he is right.
She definitely.
And he might be on the road. He might be on the road right now. But we'll see. We'll see.
Oh yeah,
please
let him call. He
already hit him. I'm waiting on him to respond now so he can call. Man, so look, y'all,
what to say next?
I have no idea. But when it comes down to it, if you look at where the two teams, obviously Kansas City is the second-ranked offense. They have a 24th-ranked defense. Defensively, they're both really about the same. Passing game right now, I got to give it to Patrick Mahomes. They got the number one passing offense in the league. So you have to definitely give, leeway for that. However, where they balance out, like I said, is with the defense, 23rd, 24th, which makes them pretty much equal in my eyes. So it's really going to come down to it being a defensive game and which team shows up first and shows up the most, with the most stops, turnovers, takeaways, obviously those type of things in order to determine who's going to win the game. Like we said right now, the Lions don't have a loss. However, that tie may be the thing that messes them up in the end. So we shall see. We are still waiting to see if we can get a caller in. I think it's going to be
right,
really interesting.
They already lost today. They already lost.
No, you're playing the game, sorry, man. What?
They already lost. They lost the Chiefs. They already lost.
Wow. You funny.
They lost
to the Cardinals. Nah, he don't have nothing
to say. Yeah, I really don't have nothing to say because I can't believe that.
It's already a fact. It's not fake news.
I can't believe that. I cannot believe that. They should have destroyed the Cardinals. I was so upset that they did not. They should have destroyed the Cardinals.
Well, like I said, man, when it comes down to it, it's definitely going to, you know.
Here's the pitfalls and the holes that I do see in Kansas City. They almost didn't win last week. And I know W is a W, and once it goes in the books, it is what it is. The points and percentages get added up, and you get to move up the rankings, not only in your division, but also in the league. So that is it. But the Ravens played them pretty freaking hard, and that looked like it was going to be a blowout game. In fact, that is the game where Mahomes' passer rating was the lowest. The rushing was the
receiver
probably the lowest in the game. The Ravens' defense is absolutely awesome, and they really, really, really got with them. So it was a little bit of a shake. In fact, it was just a 33-28 win that almost did not happen. I mean, it came down to the very last seconds of the game, the last half of the fourth quarter, and it was just
it was a shootout.
I won't
for real.
Say luck,
but no, it wasn't a shootout. No, it was not a shootout. I mean, the reception, the highest receiver only got 97 yards. It was not a shootout.
That's not a shootout.
That's not even close to a shootout. Like, their first game when Watkins received, he hit them for 198 yards receiving, and then Robinson in game two for Kansas City hit them with 172 yards receiving, and these were yards after the catch. So, overall, like, no, this was not a shootout. I got to see glimpses of this game. And the Ravens came back, and the Ravens almost won the game. I was shocked that the Ravens didn't, but clock management and some pretty great play call.
You said what now?
33-28
is not a
shootout.
I said, I
was
a different game than me
because
the game
that
I watched was a shootout.
Well, it doesn't matter what I watched. I'm telling you what the stats are. I watched it. But if it was a shootout, I don't think the highest receiver would have been Hardman at 97 yards. That's not a shootout.
So he had a shootout.
Their rushing game was 62 yards. Like, their ground game and their aerial attack just wasn't. So there were quite a few field
like
goals
I was saying,
in the game. Definitely
a shootout
that.
A shootout is not determined by one receiver. A shootout, you can have a receiver.
Lowest passing game ever. This was his lowest passing game of the season, and his lowest passer rating in the last nine games. So
So what's your definition of a shootout, Renard?
My definition of a shootout is the ball moving around the field a lot and a lot of points scored.
So then, when it's not
moving around the field a whole lot and there's not a lot of points scored, then what's that called?
28-33 is a lot.
And when they open the season 40-26.
Now, see, the problem, I think the mistake is being made in that instance. I think the mistake being made in that instance is you're comparing him in other games that were a even bigger shootout, but a lower 28-33 is still a shootout.
Now, his connection.
Patrick Mahomes has the ability to put up 45, 48, 55 points. Yes, he does, but that does not take. That doesn't mean 33 is not a shootout. He has the ability to put up 40 and 50 points.
if I got a quarterback that got Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady shootout capability, and that's the score, somebody didn't do something right. I'm looking at the reception. So you got to think about it. If his passer rating was that high and those that touched the ball, the completions were terrible. The completion rating was really bad in this game, which is the reason why the Ravens had the ability to come back. The defense also slipped a lot, but the Ravens do have a really good defense. Their offense is catching up to where the defense is, but they have a really good defense. So most shootouts in the word defense, I don't know how well they go together. Other teams defense.
Okay, we agree to disagree because you're not going to talk me into saying that this wasn't a shootout.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but in a typical shootout, you know, it does go to how many the yardage of the team, you know, as far as how you throw on the ball. Yeah, you can move the ball, but if you're only moving the ball with 5 yards here, 10 yards there, you ain't really shooting. That's not really a shootout. When you're moving the ball
like
down
said,
the field.
We'll agree to disagree on this one.
All right, we'll take that.
That's cool.
Anyway, y'all, so we got one of my homeboys on the show. If you have ever checked them out, he is one of the co-hosts of the Blog Talk Radio show, Life and Sh. so I want y'all to say what's up to my man Nas. What up, dude?
What's cracking? Sorry, I'm late. I had to brush my teeth. My breath was a little funky.
What's going on?
Defend your life.
As if you would have known that.
I am
but thanks
the resident Lions hater on this show. I am the all resident right. Lions hater.
So before we get into it, I don't know. Did you get a chance to listen before you called in?
No, I was actually taking care of my fossils. I haven't heard anything up until.
Okay,
I think y'all talking about Pat Mahomes.
All right, so I got it, man. Hold on, I got it. So this is where we are. We are talking about today's game with the Lions and Kansas City.
Oh, you mean the undefeated Lions? Say it like that. That's not supposed to be said. Undefeated.
I did for you, Nas. I had you. I got you.
Yes, you got you. All right, so the undefeated Lions are playing the undefeated Chiefs today.
No, don't back down for them.
Man, look, man, let me talk if I want to talk. Somebody asked you. I'm a bit, hey, look. Renard, in this conversation, let's be for real. You and I are at the bottom. Our team's at the bottom. We don't really have much to say. So let the man have his space if he wants to. Hold on, wait a minute. If he wants to give respect to his team and say they're undefeated, which they are.
Oh, he can say it, but he ain't telling me to say it. He can say it.
Nobody asked you to. Let me get back to the story.
So
like I was saying before.
So,
Renard is of the thought that any Detroit Lions fans, including yourself, have no qualms about the fact that they're going to lose today.
Yeah, I said that.
And that's the kind of hope y'all have for y'all team. Y'all know they're going to lose, so y'all not even tripping.
That.
So at that. He wanted us, you know, he said any Detroit Lions fan.
No, here we go get it right.
Any Detroit Lions fan, come on and defend
their team.
It
started off with where I said the Chiefs are going to win today. It's not even going to be close. And then they put up special effects, dropping bombs, saying you heard it here first. I responded with they didn't hear it here first. I said they didn't hear it at first. Everybody that watches football knows it's going to happen. And then I added, even Detroit Lions fans know it's going to happen. So if we're going to keep it real, I'm throwing y'all way under the bus because y'all even know that they're going to lose today. Yep, I said it.
You know, ironically, they say the same thing about the Patriots every year. And some kind of way, through osmosis, some kind of way, every game that we supposed to lose, the games that we always, oh, there ain't no way in the hell the Lions going to do that, it's always the games we supposed to lose when we end up winning. So I hear what you're saying, but ask Aaron Rodgers how I feel getting his ass whooped on his own field every fucking year consistently now. It's like a regular thing. Ask Tom Brady how I feel getting his ass whooped at Gillette Stadium by the Lions. And they coming to Detroit. It's not like Detroit got some cupcake ass defense. All them people they've been playing up to this date been getting it in. Detroit defense ain't gave up more than 14, 15 points this whole season. So it ain't finna be no 98
points.
Let me
ask you this.
500 yards.
You're not incorrect on the history of what has happened over the last few seasons. I'm not even gonna say you're wrong, because you're clearly not. Do you believe the Lions are gonna win today?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I do. I believe the Lions don't win today, because every time I believe that they're going to lose to a team they're supposed to lose to, I end up getting proven wrong. So based on historical data, yes, I do believe the Lions are going to win today.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to double down on it. I'm going to say the Chiefs aren't getting over. I'm going to just throw it out there. 13, 14 points tops. 14. I'm going to double down on it.
Now, I would have been willing to swallow the idea of the Lions winning in a game where both teams score more than 25. I definitely am not here for the idea of the Lions holding Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to 14 points. If you had explained to me, all right, the Lions are going to win 35-30, I wouldn't have believed it, but I would have said, okay, that's more reasonable. I definitely ain't trying to hear that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs only going to have 14.
The Lions are at home. The defense is ridiculous. Snacks is healthy.
Actually, Flowers is back now. The fact that the Lions are at home to me, in my theory, is working against the Lions, not because of the Lions being at home in Detroit, but because this is the first time Patrick Mahomes is not playing on grass. He has a team that can run even faster in Detroit than they've ever had to run. They've ever been able to run. First time he's playing on a team on sports turf. First time. They're going to run even faster.
If you say Lawrence and her squad are going to let that happen. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking this is about to be a tragedy that the Lions will not keep up with.
You saying they slow?
Yes. No, I didn't say they slow. I'm saying this is a track meet that the Lions are gonna lose.
So you saying they slow? You saying they slow? You saying they can't keep
No,
up?
I'm not. I'm saying the Chiefs are way faster. I didn't say the Lions were slow. I'm here. I will stand on my words, but you ain't adding extra words to my mouth.
As a former sprinter and a former hurdler and all the
as
other stuff.
As a former sprinter what?
As a former sprinter and a former hurdler. If I'm faster than you, you slow. You can't keep up.
If I'm beating you
and I win, you can't keep up. So you saying they slow. Turns be down.
If that's the way you want to be slow,
so in the words
if that's,
of Nas,
if that's the theory you're going based on, then yeah, they slow.
If that's the rabbit hole you want me to go down, then I'll say they slow. But I think this is going to track meet. Detroit will not keep up. All I'm saying is Baltimore held Kansas City. Baltimore held Kansas City. This immaculate, glorious, ridiculous, insane offense. Baltimore held them to 33 points. Baltimore, that's still a nice little margin of points. But Detroit's defense.
Detroit's defense was something different, so I just let it go.
I think you think they're gonna lose. You're not gonna abandon your team publicly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm a logical individual. If I feel like it's a team, like if I feel like it's a team, they can get the line out.
I mean, because honestly, game one of this season, I was truly disappointed in the Lions, and I'm a Lions hater. I was truly disappointed. I felt like the Lions should not have let that rookie quarterback get back in the game. I was so upset with the Lions for that, and I'm a Lions hater. I was like, there's no way that rookie should have got back in the game. So, even with my Lions hater in me, I'm willing to concede where there's room to concede. I don't believe there's room to concede on this.
Well, all right. So, Nas, give us a score prediction because we are about to run out of time. We definitely have a matchup today. Cool.
Right.
Score prediction. I'm going 28-17, Detroit.
Okay, ooh, see, now you just been backed off your original statement. Your original statement was that they weren't going to crown 14.
I'll give them 17. 28-17. That's the max I'm giving them. Right. That's the max I'm giving them.
And then the lovely Sonya Grenfell, who is one of my girls, a sports writer for the Detroit Lions, has also hit Twitter with how she feels, and she's got hope. She said, my squad is at home. They're going to show up. They definitely have a chance to beat Kansas City. So there it is. They're coming to life.
Your theory is being misproven, sir. How do you feel?
Okay. I don't say that they're supporting publicly, but they in their own mind they don't believe it. But I did say that.
I mean, well,
Hold on, Nas. Don't go away. Don't go away. Turn your water off. Hold your second round of brushing your teeth. You stay right there. So we're going to put up the prediction on Twitter as we wrap up this phone call. But we've got 20 minutes. And I have,
we have a division game to talk
on
about,
this
too.
Phone. It's a big division game. And my squad is here in my hometown battling the hometown team that people think I should be a fan of. And I am definitely not. Oh, my God. The Vikings are here in Chicago. The Battle of the Bears and whatever this weather is. I don't know what that is. It's rain and unhappy.
Yeah, I heard the weather can't make up the weather there. It's crazy.
Well, you know,
that is typical Chicago.
You can experience everything
in one day if you live long enough.
I have literally experienced three seasons in one day before.
Yeah, me too. It's crazy. But
three seasons in one day.
Fans coming out for
everyone.
Go one pride fans. Go. So this is a really big matchup. This is always a matchup every year, with the exception of maybe two or three seasons ago. That's always split. There is never the Bears completely take this division battle or the Vikings completely take this division battle. It's always split. For some reason, the Vikings, like, leaving it all on the field here and going home like they didn't care. And then the same thing happens in Minnesota. But today is kind of critical because we're now looking at the teams in the third and fourth spot. But the crazy thing is, watching them play, seeing where they're both run defensively, even on the offensive side of the ball, it's a shock that they are sitting at 3-4. So this game is very critical, very crucial. Now, I will start with the good and
whoever
bad
loses
of,
this game will have two losses in the division. Whoever loses this game will have two losses in the division. The Bears will have, if the Bears lose this game, they will have lost two division games at home.
If the Vikings lose this game, they will have lost two division games on the road. There's a specific player on the Vikings that Mitchell Trubisky and all Bears fans should be very afraid of, and his last name is Hunter. D. Hunter is coming for – he is coming for Trubisky every chance he can get. And if we keep it real, on the other side, it's no slouch. So the Bears' offensive line changed its side. We going to double-team one and think the other one going to be a slouch. It's not going to happen. The Bears
I think I need to kick this off with the way that I actually wanted to kick this off, since you decided to kick it off on your end with the Bears, what is your injury report looking like?
Taylor Gabriel is out due to concussion. Akeem Hicks is still out due to the knee. So it's not looking good. And Akeem Hicks with knee
issues. You think he's out the game?
Excuse me?
Is that all you think is out the game?
Is that all I think is out the game? No, but those are the important ones that are out the game.
Those are the ones he cares
like,
about.
Like, yeah, the rest of y'all don't care. Right. The rest of y'all just pack it up and stay home and look at the game. What is that?
Well, the ones that are in the car packed up and staying at home.
Mike, could you give me a favorite pull the injury report for both teams? I mean, I got one up, but, you know.
That was so fun.
He
was like, look, you the only two that mad at me.
Yeah,
so
I don't care about anybody else. Sorry, y'all got hurt in the game.
Right.
I'm a Bears fan, but y'all not the Bears. Y'all just got dirty. So.
I'm sorry, y'all. It's funny.
Well,
it's
Jonathan
not funny.
Somebody
that was like, wow.
I am not a Bears fan, but Jonathan Harris, he was on the practice squad. Mm. I have like quite a few looks that Jonathan Harris got, especially he was a very good Bears practice squad addition to hold on to. He is a rookie. He is a defensive lineman, and he will be activated today. I don't know if he can keep up with the game at the fast pace, but he should be a shocker. It's something new for my squad. My squad hasn't had a chance to prepare for a player like him. Any time that you have to bring someone from the practice squad, grab somebody off some other team, saw a dude in the alley look like he was big enough to block somebody, pick him up, throw a game for a game or two, give him about $40 and a beer. And the other team doesn't have the right, the chance to prepare against him. It's always a shock. So I'm definitely going to see what Mr. Harris does today. That's Jonathan Harris. What he does today for the Bears at the DL spot, filling in for one of the biggest injuries that the Bears do have right now. On my squad, I have no idea what they're going to do with Kirk Cousins at all, but I do know that he came on the plane and his jersey was in the locker room. So, yes, he's got to play.
If you haven't figured out, she is not a fan of Kirk Cousins. She loves her team, but she is not a fan of him. She loves her team,
love
but she is
him.
not rocking with that dude. She is not.
But I do like the switch up in play calling last week. What they did with Kurt when they realized that if we let him control the game, he's just going to throw the ball to the people that serve Mai Tais in the crowd who definitely don't have on any one of our jerseys, or he's going to be like, you know what? I got a running back having a stellar game. He about to set another record. But Stephon Diggs over there with them three men on his back, I think I could get him the ball.
He is trying to throw triple coverage, quadruple coverage, six coverage, eight coverage, eight men in the box on one person. She's trying to throw it to that person.
I don't even understand. Okay. Well, we're not going to have none of that today. So I do like how them and crew really allowed him to run the ball. The ground game last week was very, very effective. is going to have to be a little bit more effective today because they are going up against the Bears' defense. The Bears do not have a slouchy defense. Our O-line is really, unfortunately, going to have to, like, eat Wheaties, eat Cheerios, pray, and probably do another rain dance to protect Kirk Cousins. I don't know what happens there. So, but they're going to have to make some effective holes. So not only is Dalvin Cook, now that he's 100% healed, as far as we know, just beasting on the ground game, the rookie, Mr. Madison, is also looking really, really good coming in, filling in when he's running tailback. Of course, we have to see the defense that the Bears run. Man defense, I've seen teams run both man, and I've seen them run zone defenses against the Vikings. Once the Vikings kind of figure it out, they do a great job of creating space for their ground game. It's the aerial attack that's a little iffy because of who the quarterback is, because of who's under center. So the tight end, Kyle Rudolph, we definitely are going to need you today. Our tight end is huge. He's like the Dolly Green Giant dude. I love him. Very consistent. We're definitely going to need to see him come to the ball and a lot of passes going his way. We're going to need every yard we can get. Another thing the Vikings have to do today, watch the penalties. So, Xavier Rhodes, if you are playing today, please watch the penalties. I know you get really emotional and you bring it all on the field. You got to play smart football today. We shoot ourselves in the foot a lot with a lot of offsides and just illegal blocking penalties off of emotion. And we have to play smarter.
Both teams are going to want to put the ball or put the game. Both defenses are going to try to put the game in the quarterback's head because
that's not the game plan over here.
Let me finish my thought. Neither offense wants Trubisky or Cousins winning the game. Both defenses want their opposing quarterback to be the decision maker. Both opposing defenses would like for the Vikings defense. The Vikings defense would like to put the ball in Trubisky's hand. The Bears defense would like to put the game in Cousins' hand.
If they put
Trubisky in a position to where he's going to win or lose the game, it will be up. The Vikings will win. If the Bears put the Vikings in a position to where Cousins is the winner or loser of the game, the Bears have a chance. Because Dalvin Cook is out here looking like a cross between Marcus Allen and Ezekiel Elliott right now.
Ah, you did too much there. You did a little too much there.
I was like, I gotta speak up now.
Yeah, you did a little too much right there.
Marcus Allen and Ezekiel Elliott right now.
The one thing that they're not going to do is lead a game up to Cousins. That's wishful thinking. Y'all probably should have played in week 2. But, no. We've all figured out.
No, the Vikings don't want to leave it up to Cousins. No, you're correct on that. I'm saying leave it up to Cousins.
But, well, the Bears got to wish on another star because that's not going to happen. Also, the defense isn't exactly worried about Trubisky. I mean, we definitely have safeties and corners that are great.
They're more worried about Trubisky than defenses are.
To whoever has a ball in their hand, just hold on to it because one of the key things for the Vikings is they can give a crap if the ball come out of Trubisky's hands and to anybody they connect with. It's who they're trying to connect to. The Vikings have a history of they are going to grab anything that looks like a football. Period.
I am
opposing team. They don't care. If it's in the air, if he grabbed it and couldn't hold on to it or whatever, they're going to go in the end zone and get it. It's like cracked or something to them. And that's fine by me. And 90% of the time when they do get an interception, they score.
I am not worried about once it gets in the other person's hands. I am worried about while the ball is in the air from Trubisky. That ball is being in the air. He has not gotten good at doing his best impression of Jay Cutler. The day that Jay Cutler came back to watch the game, he throws a Jay Cutler end of the game interception. He has been doing too much of a Jay Cutler impression for this season. He really has.
I think you're really giving Jay Cutler way too much credit on as far as his play though. You already know how I feel about him as far as how, you know, his play and everything as far as his time with the Bears. But I think that Trubisky has his own. He has his own set of problems that are unique to him.
He has way more problems than Jay Cutler did. It's just that the biggest problem I had with Jay Cutler, and I was a Jay Cutler fan, the biggest problem I had with Jay Cutler was that he threw the interceptions at the worst possible time. And that's what Trubisky has been doing this season. He's been throwing them at the worst possible time.
Well, anytime he's in an interception game is the worst possible time. Ain't no bad time. Ain't no good time.
There's no good
if you
time
get intercepted,
to throw an
you get intercepted
you're correct.
In the beginning
but there
of
is
the
a
game,
worst
Mr.
time
bad
to throw
time.
An interception too. There is no good time to throw one, but there is a worst time to throw one.
There is no good time to throw one. That is absolutely correct. We agree on something.
There is no good time to throw one, but there is an absolute worst time to throw one at the end of the game where it's the last possible catch, and that is the worst time to throw one. And he has done that this year. He has done that this year. So you're correct. There is no bad. There is no good time to throw one. Oh, but there are some worse times, and I have had issue with the fact that last season, if he had nobody to throw the ball to, he'd be like, okay, time for me to tuck and run or time for me to take this sack. This season, he has not swallowed the ball. He has decided, okay, I'm just going to throw it up. A couple of times the Bears receivers have bailed him out. A couple of times the defense has bailed him out by not catching what should have been an interception. I don't want that Trubisky out there. Swallow the ball.
Well, in all fairness,
swallow the
man.
Sack. Or run the ball. He did more of that good decision-making last season than he has this season. I'm not saying that he needs to be out there and be Russell Wilson. He doesn't need to be Tom Brady. He doesn't even need to be Matt Stafford. But he does need to be better than what he is.
He can't be better than that with somebody else's arm.
I wish I could disagree with your statement. In all fairness,
he only has two interceptions for the season so far, ladies and gentlemen. It's not like he's
done
this interceptions.
He's not a game that you watched that didn't nobody else see. What is going on with you, man? Like, you reliving Jay Cutler, are you looking at Mr. Trubisky? This one is happening here.
I'm looking at it. He's got two interceptions.
I'm not talking about Renard. He's got 40 interceptions already this season.
Right.
He is terrible. Jay Cutler.
That's what made me go look.
He's only been four games. He's making it like he's good at every game.
He don't look good.
He does not look great. You guys know what I've also said, and y'all are going to put me on this one. What I've also said was there were times that he's thrown balls to the other team, and the other team's rocket. He's lucky he didn't have certain more interceptions. Yes, he technically only had two interceptions. He should have a lot more.
I'm a quarterback that hasn't done that. I mean, if you want to talk about an interception problem, then we can talk about, you know, Peyton Manning's little brother over there. I can't even say my man's name, Paul Eli. He thinks everybody opposing team is on his squad. So he's just like, hey, that guy's
got
a hand up. You know,
Trubisky has a decision-making problem. I'm going to put it out there. He has got to make better decisions.
Yes, he does have decision-making problems. That is accurate. He definitely does. Definitely does.
Does he have decision-making problems now, or were they always there, and they just had a great schedule and some better players, two of which one of them ain't there right now, which I was very shocked that he went.
He made better decisions last season.
Did he have a better receiver somewhere that was out there that understood what was happening and they worked well together?
He's got the same receivers this season that he did last season. Same receivers.
You sure?
No difference.
You sure?
Yes.
You sure?
Excuse me? Yes, I'm sure he has the same receivers. The only different receiver he has is Cordarrelle Patterson, and they've only been putting him in the game for
he's not listed as a receiver, though. He's a
right, he's probably listed as a running back.
Yeah.
So that's the only different one he had.
Yeah, I do believe that's accurate.
Now I will give you Trey Burton as a tight end. He hasn't really been in the game, and that was one of his security blankets last season. I will give you that. But as far as receivers go, he's got the same receivers.
So you got somebody that's coming in the game, and they're making you look good, and they haven't actually played, and you get to see that maybe somebody isn't exactly looking the way you thought they did. And you pulled the lane.
I sat here and looked at film this week
because one day I was really bored and I was trying to look at Vikings film and ended up looking at that for some strange reason. So it kind of segued into it. And I got to see a little bit of the difference at when he took over and when the coaching staff caught him real quick and was like, this is where I need the ball to go. I don't want you to think. This year, they let him think, and that's why you saw Coach Nagy last week when he came over there to explain himself after he threw that beautiful,
said, man
lovely, amazing pick. He didn't say man the fuck up. He told him to shut and listen to me. He didn't say man to nothing.
They don't know if they said man the or shut the.
Oh,
there's
I
been
know
debate
exactly
over what he said, regardless.
I don't have
it was
to.
Messed
I don't,
up whichever
well, let me
one
explain
was.
Something to you. When it comes to the Bears sideline, I don't need the media to tell me what happens and what's said down there because that's where my people work. So no, he didn't say man up of nothing. Period. He needed him to listen. Sometimes you got to take yourself out the game. You're trying to do stuff that we're telling you is not gonna work, dude. Please stop it. No different than when Kirk Cousins started that he was just going to hike a ball into the stands and Jesus was going to catch it and we was going to have a touchdown. And we could have won that game because we had our star running back, the 2-yard line, and all he had to do was – it also, again, you know, young quarterback don't look like our quarterback. Our quarterback – who is fourth and one and the quarterback keeps the ball and, like, leaps for a goal line stand? That
I'm just saying.
Work. That doesn't
I'm
work
just saying.
There. It works in
I'm
the
just
end zone.
Saying.
Man. So we can't even let Kirk Cousins be himself outside of the fact that his driver's license says he can operate a motor vehicle. Other than that,
man.
If the OCs don't get a hold of him, he's a mess. That's a mess. That right there is a, who does that? Who goal line stands a ball on fourth and goal, gets
man,
nine backwards, drops
I'm
the ball.
Just saying.
Asian P, I mean, not Asian, nobody knew what was going on. They was like, where's the ball? What just happened? Other teams gone, all that.
Dude.
What was the in the world?
Dude.
So.
What?
Come on.
I mean,
that,
you got
that
look,
there
man.
Was.
That one play right there tells you everything you need to know about him. Like, cause I think me and Kay, I don't know
if
he was on the phone or something like
that.
They, But, man, when I saw that, I was like, it wasn't goal line. What was he thinking? What thought process?
All I know is I want today to be a good game. I pray today is a good game. I pray that one thing does not happen, that it's not a blowout on either side of the ball. Because if it's a blowout on either side of the ball in this Bears-Vikings game, that means
they both suck.
That the coaching staff,
they don't both do
nothing.
I was about to blame the wrong person.
I was about to blame the wrong person. I had to stop and pause for a second. That means the coaching staff did not have their team ready. That's all I leave it. I pray it is not a blowout on either side of the ball. I want this to be a good game because I believe the NFC North is the best team, best division in football, best overall division in football.
As you know, games are underway, y'all. We had technical problems initially, so that's why we ran a little bit overtime. At this point, the Chiefs now have the ball. And if you are a Lions fan like my man Nas here, I'm sure you are rooting for your team. Definitely outside of the philosophy that Bernard had that y'all think they're going to lose today. I hope you pull up for your team. They are on the top of the division, and hey, right now they are the team to beat. So we will see how that turns out. As you know, our teams, the Bears and the Vikings, are going head to head today, and they have obvious problems, visible problems that all fans on both sides can see. And obviously, we're pulling for somebody to win.
Somebody.
No. I know that my girl Cass is pulling for the Vikings. Obviously, y'all know that me and Renata are pulling for the Bears, so we'll see how that goes. I'm not going to offer up the score. I want the Bears to win. I don't know. And the reason why I'm not offering up the score because neither one of them, even with the Bears win last week, it's
Even with the win, they are still at the bottom. And the Lions,
as of right now,
still
on top.
I just want to scare everybody.
Y'all couldn't tell. You could not have told anybody last year that this year the Lions will be leading the division and everybody else will be chasing them. Kidding the toe. Ain't no way.
Ain't no way
you get a toe. Everybody knows the last few years they've been at the bottom. So, you know, now it's their turn to, you know, reign on the top and let's see if they can stay there. And with that, Renard, go ahead and tell the people where they can find us.
Well, as we said already in the middle of the show, you can find us on Facebook under Football Fan Rush Radio, on Twitter at Football Fan Rush, on Instagram under Football Fan Rush, and you can download the podcast wherever your podcast where it's available on Apple Podcasts. We're also on the Blog Talk Radio Network under blogtalkradio.com/footballfanrushradio. Come find us, and we are here for you every week.
And Cass, do you want to say anything?
That's it for me. I'm just going to end this lovely conversation by, saying Skol Vikings in my hometown. I'm definitely looking for that amazing Vikings W. I believe my squad can pull it out. I don't believe our quarterback yet. But I definitely believe that my squad can definitely pull it out. But we will see. Yeah,
it might not be because of Cousins. Mm-hmm. But, hey.
There it is. I still have faith. I'm a Vikings fan, ride or die to the very end, and hopefully the Vikings can jump out, get an early lead, watch the penalties, capitalize on containing Trubisky and their run game. It should be a pretty good game to watch. It is a complete mess here, though. It's been raining for 97 days. I think Noah at the game with the ark and a couple animals. That's how bad It's going to be a messy game.
I saw some pictures of some areas back at home, you know, like right along Governor's Highway. One picture had somebody's van was fully covered. I'm like, dude, they haven't flooded like that at the crib for a while. It's been bad, y'all. So y'all be careful out there on the road. If you are at home, sitting, you know, watching the game, you know, go ahead and make sure you got your cocoa and your stuff going. And have fun, be safe, enjoy it. And let's see who we're talking about winning. We come back next week to see who wins these games. With all of that, y'all have a great day. We're about to wrap it up and get out of here. The games are already starting. I don't see that there's been a score yet. So have a great one, and we will talk to you all next week.